morning as we worship the Lord together. Today, we begin a new sermon series in the book of Proverbs, subtitled, God's Wisdom for Life. We are living in a world that is so full of information. There is no information that we cannot instantaneously find. One person said that we take in so much information that it's like hundreds of times more than any other generation in world history. We are bombarded with information, and yet while we have so much information and a plethora of opinions about how to interpret that information, we wonder, where is wisdom? With all this information, it still seems as though wisdom is out of our grip. Where is wisdom? To ask that question, we, from a Christian perspective, the answer is always we find wisdom in the Word of God. Amen. In a general sense, when we're looking for wisdom, we turn to God. And where does God provide us His wisdom? He provides it to us in the Bible, the Word of God. And yet, specifically, we look today at one book that is poignantly providing for us and expressly providing for us wisdom, and that is the book of Proverbs. So grab your Bibles. Let's open up to Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to be doing this basically through September. We'll be going through the first 9 chapters together, and then we'll be breaking up chapters 20 through 31, I'm sorry, 10 through 31 in a thematic way. So basically, we'll be doing this through September. Proverbs chapter 1, here we understand in this backdrop setting sermon, right? We're getting started. It's an introduction to wisdom. We're diving into the book. We're going to understand the genre, the type of literature that this is. We're going to meet the author today. We're going to consider the purpose of its writing, and we're also going to see how we can begin to build our lives on the foundation of all wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The words will be on the screen. Please follow along with me. Hear the word of the Lord. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To understand words of insight. To receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God abides forever. And everyone said, amen. Join me in prayer. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, completely dependent upon the Spirit to know and understand and apply your word today. Speak to us now. Open our eyes and ears. Transform our hearts. Give us strength where we are weak. Feed us, for we live on your word. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. What are Proverbs, right? The opening verse, the Proverbs of Solomon. What are Proverbs? Let's break it down. We'll do a little etymology. That's the extent of my English knowledge. We'll do a little etymology. Proverb. It means to be proverb, right? Four verbs. I mean, I'm not against verbs. Are you against verbs? Could you imagine how boring life would be if we had no verbs? Some of you are like, that's my life. That's exciting. I don't do anything. Yeah, I get it, right? But many of us are like, man, I'm so busy. It'd be great to have less verbs in my life. No, that's not what a proverb is, something that is four verbs. It means, in many ways, to be in the place of the words, in the place of words. It's this idea that you are condensing down a whole lot of true words into a short, concise statement. It means to be in the place of words. It's a way of communicating that's short, it's concise, it's condensed. And so it's to speak in a way that's in the place of many words. Oftentimes, when we want to speak in a way to replace many words, we use images. Something that we can, it's an image-rich idea that enables us to get a hold of much in one particular word. And it's to compare two things. It's to set things side by side. That's what a proverb does. The Hebrew word's root means to be like. And so you set these two side by side in a proverb to understand them. A proverb makes its point by holding things next to one another and observing the likenesses, the differences, and the comparisons. John Kitchen says this, proverb is a pithy sentence packed with thought-provoking punch. A proverb is truth in its most concentrated form, stripped to the bare essentials. Modern examples of this would be what? Time is money, right? Time is money. Or you may hear somebody say, you get what you pay for. Or actions speak louder than words. Or no pain, no gain, right? Short sentences that pack a lot into it. It condenses this idea and truth down to something we can grab a hold of, and it invites us to think about the significance of that, to ask questions, to consider the nuances. These short sentences are like college in a cup that invite us for more investigation and thought. Some of these biblical proverbs have been some of the most meaningful places in Scripture that have shaped our lives. Right? In decision-making, in relationships, in the way we speak and talk and handle circumstances in our lives. The way we approach our walk with Christ. These proverbs. For me, some of the most poignant ones as a kid, I was called Lazy Maisie as a kid. And I remember, for whatever reason, I'll never forget Proverbs 10:4, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich, right? Proverbs 18:21 spoke to the brokenness in our family of how we talk growing up and how I wanted to shape my marriage and my family. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 19:21, man, I like to make plans. But this one has always been in the back of my mind when all the vision and plans that I had didn't work out. Man, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Maybe you have proverbs on your mind that have been etched on your heart that have enabled you to make sense out of life and to walk in faithfulness to the Lord. These are Proverbs. And as we see, these are the Proverbs of Solomon. So as we consider the genre today, we also have an opportunity to meet the author. We're told that these are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, the king of Israel. So we understand in all the wisdom in that world with Egypt and Assyria and all these ancient peoples, that there was so much wisdom out there. But this sets this particular wisdom in the context of the people of God. Solomon was the son of David. He was the king of Israel. And if you remember anything about Solomon's story, you'll remember that God, in his grace, when he was reigning as king, came to him and asked him if he could have anything he wanted. Imagine such a proposition. God of heaven, the creator of all things, comes to you and says, I will give you anything that you want. You can imagine kind of things would come to your mind. Solomon approaches the Lord and responds and says these things. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people? Overcome with the weight of his responsibility and the role that he had as king, he understood what he needed most in all of life. Wisdom, knowledge. He needed this from the Lord. And the Lord granted his request. He understood the principle of James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously. And I wonder if some of you here today, as you consider your life, the decisions you have to make, the circumstances, the relational dynamics, your work, say, I need wisdom. I need to know what is good and best. Ask of God. Just like Solomon, and all the things that your heart longs for and craves, and all that you already have, you know that if there's no wisdom and understanding and discretion, that there's something missing. And so Proverbs are here to give us wisdom. We understand that Solomon received this wisdom, began to rule and reign and exercise this wisdom. And while wisdom was shaped into his heart by the grace of God, it also became to be a witness to the world. As the queen of Sheba came. And what did she say? She said to the king in chapter 10, verse 6, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. Isn't that amazing to think about? Solomon becomes a man and leader characterized by wisdom, and it's something that shapes his heart and his life. It's something that is bearing witness to the glory and the wisdom of his God in other places. That's what God does when he shapes wisdom in us. He shapes us and molds us into these particular kind of people, and that is so that his glory and his name and his majesty and his wisdom might be known in the world. So Solomon is shaped and he's bearing witness. But why does Solomon write these words? We consider the purpose together. Verses 2 through 6. The purpose is presented in a twofold manner for us. First, Proverbs is written to provide godly wisdom. To provide godly wisdom. He goes on to say, he's writing this so that to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence. Those four words, to know, to understand, to receive, to give. Solomon has a purpose in writing. In many ways, as a wise ruler and father and leader of a nation, he is able to survey out on the lives of other people and recognize that there is a lack in people's lives. There is something missing in people's lives. And he understands that the stake is really high. Eternity is at stake. And so he writes so that his people, the people of God, would know and understand that they would receive and that he could give. It's important for us to think about. Right there, you understand that this shapes in us a humility, that there's a lack in us, that there's something missing in us. We are told every day to follow our hearts, to lean in to our intuition, to do what we feel. That's the wisdom of the culture and of our world. But Solomon knows that's a fool's game. That's poison. We need to know the wisdom of God. We need to understand. We need to listen and learn. It's the heart of the sage in this particular book, in the author of Proverbs, to communicate truth and wisdom in such a way to provide for us that which we lack. And that's wonderful news. There's so much hope here for us, so much gospel, so much provision. God sees our lives. He knows what we face. He knows the difficulties and complexities of living in this sinful, wicked world. And he knows the dangers that folly presents for us. And he says, I want you to know. I want you to understand. I want to provide for you what is lacking inside your own heart. I am going to reveal my wisdom to you. That's our God. And that's why Solomon writes, to provide wisdom for the people of God. But it's not just to provide, right? We can't just simply think about this as content. We must embrace the idea that this is about character being fashioned in us. It's transforming who we are. It's not just for the mind, but for the heart and for the hand. It's to be integrated and applied. It's to be lived. That this provision from God is given for the purpose of producing something in us. So that twofold purpose, there's provision here, but this provision is to produce godly wisdom in us. It's to provide it for us, and it's to produce godly wisdom in us. That is, we begin to live it and integrate it and express it in the way that we live. Ray Ortland says, God has two goals for us in the book of Proverbs. One is deep character, and the other is straight thinking, shaping us. We see this combination of character and thinking in 10 words, right? He says, to know these things, to give these things, to receive these things, to understand. What is it? Wisdom. The skill in the application of knowledge, to shape in us instruction, which is involving a discipline to it. It's education through correction. It's understanding the knowledge of something and the faculty that enables you to come to such knowledge. Discernment, the ability to look at two things and see exactly what God sees. Prudence, to process situations in a way that avoids pitfalls and negative influences and the destruction that comes with them. Raise your hand if you could use the application and integration of some prudence in your life. Knowledge, to gain insight from experiences. We experience so much, but do we gain insight from it? Does it help shape what we'll do the next time? Discretion, this ability to know and act upon a plan to work it out to the end. Again, I'm just sharing some of these. The point is, it wants us to be shaped in the deepest part of who we are. Proverbs is written to provide godly wisdom for and produce godly wisdom in all of God's people. All of God's people. Who's he writing to? Well, first he tells us that he's writing, verse 4, to give prudence to the simple. The simple are those who are naive. The simple are those who are open to being shaped, vulnerable, you could say, to influences around them. The simple. These people are malleable, right? You can shape them and form them. He's also writing to give knowledge and discretion to the youth. If you're here today and you're young, growing up as an adolescent, you're a teenager, maybe you're a college student, here's an amazing thing to think about. The Word of God is speaking directly to you. You wonder, does God know who I am? Does he care about what I'm going through? Does he have any grace and strength and wisdom for me? The Word of God is speaking to you specifically right here, to the youth. Those who are young, don't get offended. Deal with it. You're still a little immature. It's okay. Submit it. You're still in the stages of maturation. It's okay. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. You're young. You're growing. You're learning. Certain parts of your brain are still developing. It's okay. God is here for you. He wants to help you. These are younger people, those in the developmental stages of life. These are people of immense and profound potential. Do you hear that? You're young. You're in middle school, high school. You're in college. There's so much potential in your life. But you got to understand, there's two sides of the coin with that. There's so much potential for evil and destruction and a mess. But the wonderful news is there's so much potential for godliness and goodness and serving of God and knowing God and enjoying God. You are young. You're still developing. He's saying this. This is written for you. I want to speak to you personally today. Like a loving father, it's like Solomon is saying, I don't want you to mess up and make all the mistakes I did. So many people are telling you to live and learn. But Solomon is saying, learn, then live. Right? Learn, then live. Here's a crazy thought. Listen to wisdom and apply it rather than needing to learn the hard way all the time. That's what Solomon's saying. Learn, then live. Proverbs is a gift to you who are young. It's speaking directly to you and to the naive and the simple. It is a provision of God's grace to you. But not only the simple and the young, but also the wise and the one who understands. Verse 5, I believe, gives 5 and 6. Gives an amazing invitation. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. The one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. He's saying, listen, not just the simple and the young, but also the wise and those who understand. You who've been there and done that, you've gained a lot of wisdom. Guess what? God has more for you. You're not done learning. You're not done growing. No matter where you are in terms of age and experience, the Lord still wants to strengthen and sanctify you. You have much to learn from his word, from Proverbs. Bottom line, Proverbs presents God's wisdom for all. He points us all down the path of God's wisdom that we might live in God's blessing. That's what Solomon wants. That's what we're going to get in these 31 chapters. We're getting wisdom for life, so that we can live in the Lord's blessing. He's pointing us down the path of wisdom, but ultimately so that we can enjoy what we really long for, life. The path of life. God's blessing. I have so much hope for us as we begin this book. But the question becomes, how do we get started? Where do we begin? Well, we have verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here we are at the beginning. We're building a life of wisdom. And where do you start? You start with a solid foundation. And in many ways, what we have in this verse 7 is a solid foundation from which we must begin. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord? Well, it must just mean reverential awe. Friends, we want to reduce the fear of the Lord and make it more comfortable and nice. I get that. Friends, don't miss what the fear of the Lord is. It is reverential awe, but it is also more than that. I like Ryan O'Dowd's quote. He says, "The picture of fearing God in both Old and New Testaments has rightly been described as a paradox that combines adoring fascination of God with trembling before his holiness and power." In short, biblical fear is real fear, but a fear that combines love and obedience. So to fear the Lord means to fear the Lord, to love him, to obey him. Yes, to respect him, to revere him, but it is to tremble in his presence at the consideration of his holiness. And he's saying it is the fear of the Lord that is the foundation, the starting point of true wisdom, true lasting wisdom. But you'll never fear the Lord if you do not know the Lord. You must come to know him in his word as he reveals himself. Come to trust him and worship him. It is a necessary prerequisite to wisdom, true lasting wisdom, that you know and fear and worship the Lord. So do you know and fear and worship the Lord today? That is the necessary starting point to know true and lasting wisdom. And we come to the final phrase here, come to the realization that so many do not know the Lord. So many do not fear the Lord. There is a parallel statement side by side. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There are two ways, friends, to live. That is a statement that will be rejected in our day. But understand this, the Bible puts forward for us, there are two ways to live. You either fear the Lord or you live in foolishness. And the tragic reality is that the world in which we live, so many do not know the Lord. So many do not fear the Lord. And for many of us, it shows our propensity, the propensity of our heart, apart from a regenerating work of grace in our lives, to despise the Lord's wisdom and instruction, to reject it, to hear it and reject it, and to do what is right in our own eyes, according to the Word of God. We come to understand that Romans 1 is reflective of our world and also often of our hearts. Verse 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." Chapter 3, verse 18 tells us that there is no fear of God before their eyes. That apart from God revealing himself personally and powerfully to us, we will not fear the Lord. We will claim to be wise, but we will be fools worshiping the gods of our own making. Friends, this brings us face to face with our fallen condition. And here we are again. What hope do we have for true wisdom? Where do we find wisdom? Where do we find salvation from our folly? Well, Isaiah 11 reminds us of the promised one who would be filled with the spirit of wisdom. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. Friends, that is Jesus Christ, the promised one who would come filled with the spirit of wisdom and understanding, who, according to Colossians 2, is wisdom. He is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Friend, for you to know true, lasting wisdom, for you to be in a relationship with God that is characterized by knowledge and fear and trust is only found in Jesus Christ, whose death on the cross for you is that which we proclaim, which is foolishness to the world. But for us, it is the wisdom and the power of God. Amen. Friend, wisdom is not simply reduced to a proverb. Wisdom is a person. And his name is Jesus. And his wisdom is that which saves us from our folly. If you're here today and you've never known Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you've been following the ways of this world, you've been doing what is right in your own eyes, please take this opportunity right here, right now, to place your faith, hope, and trust in true wisdom. His name is Jesus, the one who died on a cross, that which is the wisdom and power of God unto salvation. You'll be forgiven of all of your sins, and you will be, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be given a new heart to live and walk in wisdom, and finally and fully and forever to enjoy the blessing of God. Jesus is wisdom. Christ is the only way to know and live in wisdom. Everything else is folly. Kitchen says the ultimate folly is the attempt to live in God's world without God. Don't live in God's world without God. See Christ today. Let it be the starting point of finally walking down the path of true wisdom, finally living in the joy of God's blessing. This is Proverbs. It's our starting point. So we begin this journey. And as concisely as I can, I want to encourage you as we begin to journey through Proverbs. It's going to require us at least four things. Number one, to have Christ and his gospel as the focus. No matter where we are in Proverbs, keep Christ, the person of wisdom, the essence of wisdom, at the focus. Be humble. We must have a humility through Proverbs. We understand our lack. Some of you here today have said, I've figured everything out. I know what I'm going to do, and I know how I'm going to do it. Don't live that way. Open your heart. Humble yourself before God in this series. Be teachable, malleable. Admit your desperate need for Jesus, lest you be naive, vulnerable, and on a path of destruction. Be teachable. May faith be our response. We're going to hear and interact with truths that are going to be uncomfortable at times, that don't make sense at times. And I'm saying, trust God. Let's approach Proverbs with a firm conviction that his word is true. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when it seems inconvenient, even when it's going to cost us something, I trust in you, Lord. Speak to me, shape me, give me wisdom, Lord. Help me to integrate it into my life. And last, may worship be our goal. This is about worship. It's about worship. Solomon wants us to receive and then live, to live a life characterized by worship, to know God, understand his wisdom, know his will, and live obediently, and love him every step of the way. That's what Proverbs is doing. Proverbs is pointing us all down the path of God's wisdom, so that we might live in God's blessing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name grateful for this new series. Lord, open our eyes and hearts and ears. Help us to receive. Enable us to see Christ for all he is, to be humble and teachable, to trust your word. And Lord, give us a heart to honor and worship you, to run from folly, to walk in wisdom. All to your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.